Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. And I preached a very small portion of this message at the nursing home, so I feel like I've got to tell the joke that I told at the nursing home. And there was a blonde that came into the ER, and she had burns on both ears and one finger. And the doc was like, "How in the world did you get burns on both ears and one finger?" She's like, "Well, the phone rang. I made a mistake, and I answered it, but it was the iron." And he's like, "Well, okay, that answers for one ear. What happened to the other ear and the finger?" She's like, "I was trying to dial 911. So anyways, that was my joke for the nursing home, and I figured I'd share it with you all. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. If you could stand in honor of God's word, please. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. The Bible says, "I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just do a work tonight in our hearts. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to learn from your word. Speak to us tonight, and we pray that you meet with us and use your word to make a change in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And, the thing about it is that at this point in time, Paul is sharing his heart with the Christians in Rome. And the truth of the matter is he makes several statements that I believe that we can ask ourselves. The title of my message tonight is, "I am, are we?" And so Paul's making an admonition here. He's in these several verses that he is. You look several times, it says, "I am a debtor," both to the Greeks. Verse 15, "I am ready to preach." And verse 16, "I am not ashamed." Now, automatically, I think about the in Exodus chapter 3 about how Moses, when he was kind of a little shaky on going before Pharaoh, and he says, the Bible talks about, "I am the I am," and to paraphrase a little bit, he says, "Say the I am has sent me." And the thing about it is nothing we do is nothing we do is going to be successful unless the I am is involved. And the I am needs to have full reign in our lives. And you know, we're never going to do anything great for God if the I am isn't in full control. But tonight I want to discuss, "I am, are we?" And starting off in verse 14, the Bible says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I am a debtor." A debtor is one who owes another or is bound in duty or held in obligations. And the truth of the matter is that we are a debtor as well. And if you turn to Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13 and verse 47, the truth of the matter is that he had a call, and he had the same call that we have. And Acts chapter 13 and verse 47, the Bible says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have to be, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Truth of the matter is the Bible says that we're supposed to be the light of the world. And God also says that we're supposed to be the salt, and wherewithin shall... lost my train of thought. But the Bible says that we're supposed to be salt, and that we're supposed to not lose our savor. And we're supposed to be a light. And what's that talking about? Basically witnessing. And tonight's sermon is basically a little bit of a spin-off of Pastor's message, "Get Out of the Boat." And the whole idea of soul winning. You know, the truth of the matter is we need to realize that we're a debtor also because of the needs of others. And turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." The thing about it is we've got to realize that there are people out there that need to know God. And the truth of the matter is that, listen, everybody we come in contact, if they're not saved, They need to know God. They need to know the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They need to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and for theirs. And they need to come to the saving knowledge that knows, hey, listen, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So that means that, you know what? Everybody we come in contact with needs, if they're not saved, they're dying and going to hell until they accept Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. This is why the cashier that checks us out at Kroger's. You know what? I'll be honest with you. We should be carrying around these right here. You know, a lot of people they say, well, you know what? I'm not bold enough. I don't speak well enough, and whatnot. But here's the thing: is you know what? It's real easy to pass out one of these. And I carry with this one's a little tattered because I carry them with me at work, and I try and use public restrooms everywhere I can so I can set them on the toilet paper dispenser or wherever. Because the truth of the matter is you know it's kind of a funny thought, but the person that uses that most likely, if we're to go by statistics, the person that uses that bathroom next most likely is not saved. And so the truth of the matter is that are we going to realize that, you know what, that person that uses that commode next, if they don't accept Christ, if they don't get saved, one day they're going to die and go to hell. And did we have a part in telling them, or didn't we? The truth of the matter is it's real easy to pass out one of these, because inside is the gospel. Inside tells them how to get saved. You know, we can get creative. I've left them inside of the pump handles at gas stations. And just get creative. The thing about it is we need to be sharing the gospel, because there is a lot of people out in this world that need to know. And 2 Thessalonians 1 talks about this need. And so the thing about it is we got to realize that there's a need others have. And I'll be honest with you, we got to remember what the Lord did for us. And 1 John, and I'm sure a lot of you guys know this by heart, 1 John verse 4:19, the Bible says, we loved him because he first loved us. The thing about it is I remember when I got saved, you know what? Before I even realized I needed a Savior, Christ had already loved me. Christ had already died on the cross. Christ had already given me a provision to get saved. I remember I was in West Richland, Washington, and you know what? Without a pastor, at the time he wasn't even a pastor, it was Mike Schwalbach, and he was doing a neighborhood Bible time. And without Mike Schwalbach sharing the gospel, you know what? I don't know when or if I would have ever gotten saved. Now, the thing about it is that are we the one that God is using to lead somebody to Christ, and are we realizing the need and that we are debtors? The thing about it is that somebody shared with us the gospel. What would have happened if that person that shared with us the gospel decided that they would do what most of Christianity does and decide, you know what, I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm either ashamed. I'm either whatever the case may be. What would be to happen if somebody treated salvation like we treated salvation? Are we spreading the gospel everywhere we can? And the thing about it is that, you know what, we're debtors also. And we're called to be a witness. And in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible talks about this, and this is a very famous passage as well, but the truth of the matter is we need to be reminded of this. And this message is for me as much as it is for anybody else. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? We have a command. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel, just like it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. It's just like this. You know, the truth of the matter is we have a responsibility as a Calvary Baptist Church to spread the gospel here in Bucyrus, here in Ohio, here in the United States, and all across the world. This is why we support missions. And this is why we should be actively involved in the missions program. How do we spread the gospel here and at the foreign fields at the same time? Well, that's what the mission program is all for. And the truth of the matter is we got to realize, hey, you know what? Somebody shared the gospel with us. Who are we going to share the gospel with? The truth of the matter is Paul says, you know what? I'm a debtor. And he realized that. Or do we realize the same thing? You know, thing about it is that we're called to be a witness. And you know, the thing about it is it reminds me of the the duty to act. That I'm also an EMT for the local paramedic or the local ambulance company. And you know what's interesting about EMTs is once you get the training and once you receive the training and you're certified in the whole bit, there's what's called a duty to act. In other words, if I were driving down the road and I seen somebody in full cardiac arrest and they were I had the ability to help them out, and I decided I was just going to keep on driving, somebody found out that I knew how to save that person and I didn't do it, duty to act would condemn me and I could be prosecuted. Now, the thing about it is how much more of a duty to act do we have for someone that's lost and dying and going to hell? The thing about it is that, you know what, without the gospel, nobody's going to be saved. The truth of the matter is that we have to realize that, you know what, hey, just like the Romans wrote, that, hey, we've got to realize we're all sinners and that we're all, you know what, we have a price of sin that we could never pay ourselves. It's just like the song, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Hey, that was Jesus Christ on Calvary. And you know what? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I deserve death. And the Bible talks about how there's the physical death and the second death. The Bible says, in death and hell we're cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. You know what? I deserve to die and go to hell. I deserve to be cast into hell. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we've been given a gift. And the Bible says I'm going to talk about this more later on, but to whom much is given, much is required. We've been given a lot. And we have been, you know what, here at Calvary Baptist Church, we have the gospel preached on a regular basis. We have Sunday school teachers. We've got all these things that are available to us. A lot of us have been in church a long time. I wonder how much more the duty to act for us is going on. Paul says, I'm a debtor. And verse 15, the Bible also says in Romans chapter 1, got to turn there myself. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible also says that, almost there. All right. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. The Bible says, you know what? He was ready to declare the gospel. And you know, the thing about it is he was willing and he was prepared to give the gospel. How many of us are prepared? The thing about it is I'll be honest with you, one of the most embarrassing times in my life is when God is prompting me to give somebody a tract or to witness to somebody, and I forgot to get one of those and put them in my pocket. And I remember, I think it was John R. Rice, if it's not, you can correct me afterwards, but there was a famous preacher, you know, he was, he prided himself in having tracts and giving out tracts all over, and the thing about it is someone came in the middle of the night and knocked on the door. And I can't remember what they knocked on the door for, but he was in his pajamas and he went to open the door and it was somebody that he felt that God was calling him to give a track to. And so, anyways, he's like, I don't have a track on me. And he had to fumble around for a track. And the thing about it is afterwards he ended up getting him a track, but afterwards he went to his wife and he says, honey, I need you to sew me a pocket on my tracks. Or I'm a pocket on my pajamas. I gotta have some tracks. And he says, when the Holy Spirit leads, I gotta have some tracks. And the thing about it is he wanted to be ready to give an answer. And the truth of the matter is, there's other verses that talk about this as well. But are we prepared to give the gospel? And the Bible says that we're supposed to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh for the reason of hope that is in us. And the thing about it is we've got to be ready to give an answer. We've got to be ready to. You know what? Paul was eager. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible talks about this. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He says, hey, listen, I've got a desire in my heart to see people saved. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. We need to be praying that God gives us a desire to see people saved. You know what? One of the greatest experiences in all the world is to see God work in a heart and to see somebody be convicted of God that they need a Savior. And you know what? To see God gloriously save them and change their life around. You know what? That is an awesome experience, and to be a soul winner, to be able to share the gospel, it's just incredible. But chapter 9 and verse 3, the Bible says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. He said, you know what? The thing about it is I am so burdened for lost souls that the Bible says he's willing to be accursed from Christ for my brethren. I wonder how much of a burden do we have for lost souls? How many times have we been burdened to give the gospel to somebody? Now, the thing about it is I know that, you know what, some people, when we first start off, we're not ready to just sit there and flip through all kinds of scriptures. But you know what? We ought to be at least to pass out a track. And, you know, we ought to have a burden for lost souls. And the thing about it is that Paul had a burden. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto God and salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew first." The thing about it is Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Ashamed is a feeling of fear or shame that prevents a person from doing something. I was just reading my Manners and Customs of Bible Lands, and one of the first things that it was talking about was the fact that back in the olden days, one of the customs was to leave the doors open, and it was showing hospitality that anybody could come in and whatnot. And the thing about it is I don't know how true it was, but they were saying that a lot of times it was a sign of shame to shut the doors. And it was saying that people couldn't come in and that there was something shameful in the house. And I'll be honest with you, too many times I believe that we as Christians, we fail to open the door and spread the gospel because there's something shameful in our lives. And there's sin in our lives that's going to hinder us from, because I'll be honest with you, some of the times that I don't share the gospel is that maybe I'm not walking with God like I should, or maybe there's something that needs confessed. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Hey, listen, when we share the gospel, there's that fear that somebody's going to realize that, you know what, we're not as right with God as we should be. I'll never forget when I used this illustration before. I'll never forget when I was a young child working on a bus route, bringing people into church. And it was my parents that were the bus captains and whatnot. And I was misbehaving on the bus. At one point in time, I walked over to this visitor and I said, "Do you know 100% sure that if you died today, you go to heaven?" And he looked at me and he says, "You've just been acting up the whole time. You haven't been paying attention. Why would I want to even hear what you have to say?" And I'll be honest with you, that struck down in my heart. And the thing about it is sometimes I wonder if we fail to witness because there's something in our lives. And, it's just like the song, "Something Between My Soul and the Savior." You know, the thing about it is we need to make sure that we're right with God. You know what? Earlier it says there's a power of God. You know what? If we think that we're going to walk up to a person and we're just going to have a silver tongue and we're going to convince them their need for a Savior, listen, it's the power of God. It's the Word of God. The truth of the matter is, you know what? I can talk to them blue in the face. If I leave the Scriptures out and I don't even reference the Word of God, you know what? All I'm doing is wasting my time and theirs. It is the power of God. It is the Word of God. You know what? It's the Word of God that changes lives. My words, you know what? I'm not that good of a speaker, but the truth of the matter is that, you know what? I could be the most silver-tongued person in all the world. I can never change a life, but I know one that can. And the truth of the matter is you know what? This kind of goes on to my next statement. The truth of the matter is, you know what? We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of what the gospel has done for us. You know, the thing about it is that, you know what? I've never seen anybody argue with me about my testimony. And the truth of the matter is what I was saved from and what I'm saved to. Pastor, have you ever heard anybody argue with you about your testimony, about how God gloriously saved you? No, it never happens. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Outside of the Scriptures, this is one of the most powerful tools that you can use while you're soul winning. Because the truth of the matter is you know what? They can argue with you about what it might do for your neighbor. They can argue with you about what it might do for their cousin. You can argue about anything you want, but the truth of the matter is you can't argue about what happened to you. And, Paul, if you look at Acts chapter 9 and the conversion of Paul, the truth of the matter is you look down in 9 and 20, the Bible says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which are called in the name of Jesus, or in the name of Jerusalem, and come hither in the tent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? They were saying, listen, there's a change in this man's life. There's a change in this man's life. And you know what? God used that to convict a lot of people. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Hey, listen, we should not be ashamed of what the gospel has done in our lives. You know what? Nobody can dispute that. Truth of the matter is we ought to be proud of that. We ought to be walking around saying, hey, listen, you know what? Hey, like on the elevators, one of my favorite things to say is, you going up? Yep, all the way to heaven. How about you? And the truth of the matter is we ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hey, listen, I am on my way to heaven. My feet are never going to touch hell. You know what? My Savior is the King of Kings and then the Lord of Lords. I'm a child of the King. And you know what? Hey, that's exciting. That's something not to be ashamed about. Hey, listen, we ought not to be ashamed to be a Christian. We ought not to be ashamed of being saved. And the truth of the matter is we ought not to be ashamed about sharing the gospel. The truth of the matter is it's not anything to be ashamed of. You know, too many times nowadays in the world, you know, hey, we got this special hair tonic. And you know what? I'm not ashamed of it. Why don't you buy some? And it might be a little offensive to a woman, you know. But anyways, the thing about it is that, you know what? We're not ashamed of, hey, I found this great doctor. You know what? He really healed me and all these things. You know what? Hey, listen, I know the great physician. Bless God. And the thing about it is, you know what? We ought not be ashamed. There's so many things. You know what? Hey, did you hear about the Ohio State game? I'd be ashamed of that. No, just joking. But listen, there are a few Michigan fans in the crowd. But anyways, the thing about it is, you know what? We're you know what? Too many times people paint themselves up and make a fool of themselves on the football field or on the. I'll never forget one time we met with some friends for the football big play. What is that thing? The Super Bowl. And we had a Super Bowl deal. It was after church. We recorded it and whatnot. And I'll never forget, some of my friends were standing on their chair yelling and screaming and making a fool of themselves. And I'm sitting there thinking, if I only had a video camera. But the thing about it is you know what? Hey, listen, if we can be a fool about sports, if we can be a fool about all these things, the truth of the matter is we ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So anyways, listen, the truth of the matter is that we need to be sharing the gospel. See, the thing about it is it's a gospel that changes lives. It's a gospel that changed our lives. We need to ask ourselves, am I ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Paul is basically saying, listen, I am, are you? Tonight I want to ask ourselves this question. He is, are we? The thing about it is are we, like Paul says, I am a debtor. Do we realize that we are too? I am ready. Are we ready? For I am not ashamed. Have we been ashamed? The truth of the matter is that, listen, I'm not asking us tonight to be an Apostle Paul because we're never going to be an Apostle Paul. They used to tell us in Bible college on how, you know, listen, don't try and imitate a certain preacher because you're never going to be that person. And the nice part about it is God uses individuals. And the thing about it is God has a plan and purpose for each one of our lives. But the thing about it is that, listen, guys, I'm not asking you to be Apostle Paul, but what I am asking you is that, you know what? We're willing to be used of God. We're willing to step out of our comfort zone. Like Pastor preached one night, we're willing to step out of the boat. And we're willing to say, you know what? I want to be like the Apostle Paul and say, I am. And listen, guys. Don't sell God short. Remember how I said is the power of God? You know, see, the thing about it is that you know what? God uses people, but he doesn't use them because they're awesome. Otherwise, I'd never be up here. I was sharing with the teenagers this morning. When I was real young, I had a stuttering problem. And I couldn't even hardly speak. I couldn't even hardly, anytime there was a spotlight on me, I'd start stuttering and I couldn't even hardly speak. And I went through speech therapy for several years. Between that and the behavioral problems, they thought, you know what, this kid is never going to turn out to be a preacher. But the thing about it is that, you know what, God can use anybody. And God has a plan and a purpose for anybody. And the person that says, you know what, I'm so awesome, I think God can use me. Then the truth of the matter is you know what? There's a pride problem that God has to deal with before he can use you. And so the thing about it is you know what? Listen, guys, the question is tonight is, he is, are we? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that you have for us, and we thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the admonition that you gave to Paul to write down and the life of Paul. And dear Heavenly Father, so many examples through Scriptures. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be witnesses. And dear Heavenly Father, you commanded us to witness into all the world and every creature. And dear Heavenly Father, we're not going to do that without the great I Am guiding and directing us and having full control of our lives. I pray that you just help us to pray tonight to get a burden for lost souls and to have a burden for soul winning. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to get out of the boat tonight. In Jesus' name, Pastor.